We're going to read the scripture now from Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 to 15. It's on page 964 in your pew Bibles. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 to 15. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they'll be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. This is the word of God. Excuse me. I'll just let you know that I have strict instructions from my wife when and how to cough. Okay, so when I see her starting to clear her throat, that means I need to cough. Thank you, darling. Thank you very much. Christians pray. Now, disciples of the Lord Jesus pray. We pray. It's part of a dialogue. God speaks to us by his word and spirit. We hear him speak and then we respond. We pray. Christians pray. Someone said Christians prayer is the Christian's vital breath. That's just something that Christians do. We speak. Our Father speaks to us and we respond to him. So Jesus said to his disciples, when you pray, let's just assume this is what they will do. When you pray, you pray. So that's what Jesus expects. And this is stressed in the New Testament as I was going over this. I was challenged by this. Those who preach know this or teach, know that when you're studying to preach to someone else or teach someone else, the Lord challenges you yourself. So we're all under the word. And when I was reading this, Paul says in Romans 12:12, be persistent in prayer. Colossians, Paul says, devote yourselves to prayer. Stay alert in it with thanksgiving. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, Paul says in the old version, pray without ceasing. Pray constantly. And the Lord Jesus later on in the Sermon on the Mount says, ask, seek, knock. He's talking about praying. And the challenge that came from this was the need to pray more than I do, and maybe more than you do. I mean, it's just saying, pray. Our lives should be very prayerful. And so the Lord is teaching me that, even as I read the scripture, and maybe you as well. Be encouraged as you pray. But that's what the Lord wants us to do, is to pray. And prayer is not therapy. See, we can think of prayer. Well, some people think of prayer as therapy. You know, talking through things, it makes you feel better. Yeah. And so you'll feel better if you pray. Now, prayer is not a magic force. You know, more prayer, things will happen. Well, maybe that's true, but, you know, it's as if the prayer does it. You know, as if prayer is some sort of magic force. Prayer is communicating with our Father. Yes, people say prayer does things. Well, in the sense that God does things in answer to prayer. But prayer is not therapy and prayer is not magic. Prayer is talking to our Father in heaven. And prayer builds a relationship with our God, with Jesus our Saviour. Because it shows dependence on him. And that really is how we're meant to be. We can be so... sometimes I think the Lord gives us, makes things happen to us and makes us not as strong as we were so that we realise how dependent on him we are. Now, I'm not preaching this to anybody particularly. I'm just like you. Because we can be so, I've got it all together. But sometimes the Lord says, no, you haven't got it all together. You need to depend on me. And prayer is really an acknowledgement. Yes, we're depending on our Father. Tim Keller puts it this way. Prayer is how God gives us so many of the unimaginable things he has for us. It's the way we know God, the way we finally treat God as God. Prayer is simply the key to everything we need to do and be in life. That's a very big claim, but I believe he's right. Prayer is so important. I was listening to I don't know how geeky you people are, but I was listening to a podcast this morning. And I can't even remember the man's name. If I remember, I'll tell you in a month's time. But it was just, I think he was an Afro-American. And he was talking about prayer and revival. And he was talking on Acts chapter 4, where they come and they pray. And the Lord shakes the place. And they speak the word of God with boldness. But this guy was just saying, why don't we have revival? You know, we're not praying. Anyway, if I get it to you, I'll get it to you eventually. It's just very, very good. Anyway, so Tim Keller, I think, is right there. We must learn to pray, says Tim Keller. We have to. That's learn to pray. We have to learn to pray, better. And the Lord Jesus teaches us, if we listen to him in the scripture, teaches me, teaches you how to pray better. Because disciples of the Lord Jesus pray. So when you pray, you're doing what disciples do. It's not a weak thing. It's a thing that we do. We need to do. And he's told us how to pray. He said, he's told us how not to pray. When you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites. That is, don't show off. Don't try to impress people. And I say this, I say this to people who are up front. This is what happens. I know because I'm up front a lot. That you can pray to impress people. And you can do it in a prayer meeting. I said this before, didn't I? A couple of weeks ago. You know, the number of grunts of agreement you get, you feel better and think, must have used that phrase again. Now, I'm talking about reality, you know. This happens because it's tempting. Because to get strokes is tempting. Now, I'm not saying don't agree with people when they pray. But we've got to be careful when we pray that it's not praying to the audience. We're praying to our Father together. Focus on our Father. So, don't pray like the pagans. When you pray, don't heap up empty phrases. Remember, it says in the other version, use vain repetition as the heathen do. Right. Now, my dad told me, not all repetition is vain repetition. Right. Yeah. I mean, Jesus went away and he prayed, didn't he? And he came back and his disciples were asleep. So he goes away and prays again. He prayed the same thing. So not all repetition is vain repetition. Right. In fact, now, I haven't got a chapter and verse for this, and you have to think about it, but I think sometimes repetition in prayer ourselves can be good for getting our own hearts and minds in gear. Because when I went to school, primary school, we had a man, I forgot his name, he came and gave religious instruction, and he gave this little saying, we often say our prayers at night, but do we really pray? And do the wishes of our hearts go with the words we say? That's pretty good, isn't it? Yeah. Because we can go through the words, because we know what the words are. And that's, I think, the advantage sometimes of repetition. That is, not to convince God, but to get our own hearts into gear. Saying, yes, Lord, this is really what I want. Yes, yes, I do. And you understand what I'm saying. But the hypocrites, the pagans, thought they could manipulate God by prayer. And we can't manipulate God by prayer. Prayer is us coming humbly and saying, we deserve nothing. Everything we have is a gift. We know you are our Father. So it's So it's not manipulative prayer or fancy words. Why? Why is it like that? Because God is our Father. See, it starts out, our Father in heaven. God is our Father. We belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. God is our Father in heaven. As a shorter catechism says, he's a Father who's able and ready to help us. Able and ready to help us. He's certainly able. That's a thing that God doesn't say this reverently, but God doesn't say, that's a hard one. It's not hard for God. Nothing's hard for God. Nothing. He not only made the heaven and the earth, he sustains the heaven and the earth. He guides all things to its appointed end. He's able to help us whatever we ask, whatever we ask. And he's ready. And so we're not manipulating God by what he does. And I think you can, if you think about, we should think about this more. Think about prayers that God has answered in your life. Maybe not dramatic, but just brings things together. God is good. He answers prayer. And so may the Lord teach you and me to come to our Father as children. Continue to do that. A Father who loves us and is able and ready to help us. He loves us. He loves us so much that he sent his Son to die for us. Won't he give us what we need when we ask him? And Jesus says, well, pray like this. Our Father in heaven, the Lord gives us a model prayer. We call it the Lord's Prayer. It's actually the disciples' prayer, right? Because it's for disciples of the Lord Jesus, those who trust him, those who follow him. It's a disciples' prayer. It's a prayer for us. It's a good prayer to pray. It's a good prayer to order our praying. That you can think, both the shorter and the larger catechism will give us directions or help us understand it better to use it as things we pray for. But it's the disciples' prayer. And we want to look at this in the months ahead. So the prayer goes like this. Our Father in heaven, we pray to our Father. And then even the first thought, who is this Father to whom we pray? To whom the disciples of the Lord Jesus pray? You see, now this is important because not everybody, God is not the Father of everybody in this sense. See, people say, well, yeah, God's the Father of everybody. Well, he's in the sense of creator, yes. But now he's talking about his disciples. It's those who trust the Lord Jesus, who belong to God, who move from being God's enemies to being God's friends, who are adopted into his family, who are born again, new people. And that's you. You trust the Lord Jesus. He's your Father in that special way, in that real way, in that way that will be there forever. And what sort of Father is God? And I thought about this. There's so much we could say, and you can add there too as you remember yourself. But the thing I want to say is that God is the best Father. God is the best Father. He's better than our fathers, our earthly fathers. God is the perfect Father. You had a good father, a positive father, a loving father. God is like that, only better. Much, much better. Or maybe you didn't have a very positive father. Some people don't have very positive fathers. It's damaging to, and maybe that's damaging to people when their fathers are not, untrustworthy and are violent, and this may have happened to you, I don't know you. Or a neglectful father, or a father who's distant and cold. It happens in our society, it happens in churches all too often, but God is not like that. Now, because fathers are deficient, and some can be very deficient and really negative, it can be hard when we preach the gospel to people. Say, you know, God is your Father and God will accept you as a father. John Smith, the God Squad man, he said that he was saying to someone once, you know, you trust Jesus and God will be your father and care for you. And this, he got the response, if he's anything like my father, I don't want to have anything to do with him. Well, so that's what we've got to remember. God is not that sort of father. God is the perfect father. And so we need to think about this, and let's think about it now. I don't know what you've heard in your Christian upbringing, and there's always got to be balance in this, but just let's have a look at this. You may have heard a lot about the wrath of God. We preach the wrath of God. Why do we preach about the wrath of God? Because it's in the Bible. I mean, it's true. It says God is angry with the wicked every day. We can hear about the wrath of God. It's soberingly true. But sometimes that can be stressed so much that we don't hear the other side. They're both there, which is just as true. And hear about God's love for repentant sinners. Overwhelming love for repentant sinners. You might have heard a lot about the judgment of God, which is true, certainly is. As Alan was saying, Jesus comes to judge the living and the dead. There is a judgment. And we tell people about that. But we also tell them that's not the whole story. There is also forgiveness and acceptance. That God accepts poor, repentant sinners who come to him in the name of Jesus. And so some of us perhaps believe the first, but maybe think more of the second. And that can make it hard to understand what God is really like as a father. And some Christians can feel that God is basically negative or distant or cold or judgmental. I mean, that can happen. Even when they belong to him. And so don't quite trust him. And this may not be you this morning, but it may be you this morning. And if it is, it's not that these other things aren't true, but God is not like that. He's not like that only. Those who come to him in the Lord Jesus, he is a father who is loving and forgiving and caring. He's the best father, the perfect father for you. And now, in what ways is he the best father? And I've just taken bits from different parts of Scripture. He cares for you tenderly. Remember Psalm 103, verse 13. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. Did you hear that? As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. What's that like? Fathers, mothers, uncles, aunts. Think about your children. Think about them when they're little and they're struggling. Think about them when... is it kinder maybe? They're up on the stage and they all get... Get overtaken by your own rhetoric. You've got to be careful about that. But you know what it's like, you know. You know, your little kid's up on the stage and get all nervous and doesn't know what to do. And how do you feel? There's no other kids on the stage. There's just your poor child on the stage. And you feel... How does your heart go? Your heart goes out to this child. You know what I'm talking about? Of course you know what I'm talking about, right? What does it say? God cares about you that way. That's amazing. That's what it says. You see, it says, as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. Isn't that magnificent? See? Well, that's what it's saying. That is what the Father is like. That's what the Father is like. You know, and so, you know, you're standing over the cot when they're asleep and... Or they're leaning on you when you're reading them a book. Or when they're old and they're struck down by some disease or unemployment doesn't work and they're struggling issues. And how do you feel about your children? Well, you just feel tender. That's why we read that. That's why we read that out. Alan read that out of Hosea. I mean, God says, how can I give you up, O Ephraim? It says, when Ephraim was a child, I taught him to walk. I took him by the arms. Yeah, can you imagine that? I mean, you know what it's like when you're kids? Take a kid like that, teach him how to walk. That's what God says. When Ephraim was a child, that's what I did. I think that's what the text is saying. It sounds like it's doing that. That's what God is. He says, I can't give you up. it blows you away. So that's how the Lord feels about you, Christian brother or sister. He cares for you tenderly. But also, he disciplines you lovingly. He disciplines us lovingly. Remember Proverbs chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom he loves, as a father the son in whom he delights. I think the way things are drifting now in our society is that you don't discipline your children. And I'm not going to say too much. I don't know what you do. You know that. But whether you use corporal punishment or not, we all know the idea of the naughty corner. You know, or go to your room or whatever. Something unpleasant for our children. Correct? We know how that works, right? Right. And we don't do well. And sometimes fathers can do it because they're grumpy and they've had a hard day at work and all that sort of thing. But no, you do it because you love your kids and you want your kids not to be like that. You want them to change, right? You want them to. There is such a thing as discipline, right? Now, I'll say a little bit about it. But it says in our text, those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. So when hard things happen to us, they're not an accident. Now, this is tough today. I mean, brothers and sisters, this is tough. I know, because I've just heard up the front that hard things have happened. This is what the Lord says. When hard things happen, I'm a father who still loves you. See, that's the point. Those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. It's love. Not arbitrary, not anger, not hatred, not because God's had a hard day. Those whom he loves, he disciplines. And so when he disciplines us, he does it lovingly. That's our Father in heaven, to whom we pray, our Father in heaven. And our writer, both here and in the Hebrews, to Hebrews, says, let's not despise his discipline. Right? His discipline should draw us closer to him. That's what our Father in heaven is like. But wait, there's more, right? Your Father in heaven provides for us responsibly. He provides for us responsibly. Think of Jesus' words in Matthew 7. Which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? Fathers, parents, uncles, aunts, grandparents, you give good things to your children, to your grandchildren, to your nephews and nieces, don't you? You give them good things when they ask you. And not everything they ask for, right? But you give them good things when they ask for them. And Jesus says, you, to the people he's talking to, but to us as well, you are evil. You know, you're not perfect. But God is perfect. He always does what is good and best. And he does give to us responsibly. He's not evil. And so if evil people give good things to if we as evil people give good things to our children, when they ask, what's a perfectly good Heavenly Father going to do? Not always what we want, but you know this for your children, yeah? No, you're not having another one of those. It's not good for you. And what do? They grump and they carry on. But you know that it'll rot their teeth or whatever it might happen to be, right? We know that. God cares about us. He doesn't always give us what we want. And you know that your children always know better than you do and how terrible you're being, and right? But you know quite well that you don't give in because you care about them. And so God gives us good things, not always what we want, but he gives us lots of things, and a lot more than bread and fish. And you see, we get so used to it that he gives us things even without us asking, right? And this can sound trivial, right? Hot water and electric blankets, hot showers and electric blankets. That's pretty good, isn't it? Right? We like that. God gives us good things to enjoy, right? See? And we can think of all the things that God gives us, even without asking. Yes, God is our Heavenly Father, and He cares about us and gives us in our society political stability and emergency services and freedom to worship and the ability to evangelise, and above everything, He gives us His Holy Spirit. And He's answered your prayers because He provides responsibly. That's our Heavenly Father, and we pray, our Father in heaven. But lastly, our Heavenly Father loves us unbelievably. Think of Luke 15, the parable of the prodigal son. We know the parable of the prodigal son, and if you're not familiar with it, then go to Luke 15. But the parable of the prodigal son. When the prodigal son goes away, he's turned his back on his father. The son has chosen the money over his father. Really, some tell us, he says, give me my inheritance, which is the equivalent of, I wish you were dead, I want the money now. That's not, and in that society, it was a great insult. The son brought shame on his father. Enough for his father to have nothing to do with him again. But what do we see when the straying son returns? But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran. And you know that in those societies, important men don't run. And he was an important man in the parable because he had a fattened calf and he had property, right? And he had servants. And he ran. He ran. But he ran to his son and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. And he was spot on. He was no longer worthy to be called his son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. You see, this is unbelievable. This is unbelievable. The people who first heard this parable must have been shaking their heads, saying, really? This is unbelievable. And you see, the father is standing, is representing what God is like to those who repent. Because you see, these people are grumbling because Jesus is having something to do with tax collectors and sinners. And Jesus is calling to repentance. He's saying, this is how the Father receives those who repent. Bring the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. It's unbelievable love for this poor returning sinner. Not rejection, but acceptance. Now, brothers and sisters, this is what God has been like for you and for me. This is how your Heavenly Father, how our Heavenly Father is like for us now, for you now. You know what you were like, or you know well enough. Totally unworthy to be in God's family. But you heard the gospel, or you learned it as a child, and it was that God had made a way back to himself through his son, the Lord Jesus. And you went to him, unworthy, but he was ready for you. He was ready for you. And he gave you the equivalent of a hug. And said, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him or her. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on her feet. That's what your Father in heaven is like. He loves you unbelievably. He loves you unbelievably. So whatever your human father was or is like, or whatever view of God you picked up, remember that your Father in heaven loves you better than any human father can and does. Let that soak into your heart and my heart and mine. And this is a God that you pray to, not to show off, not to try to manipulate, but as your Father in heaven. And if you're not a disciple of Jesus Christ, not a disciple of the Lord Jesus, if you're still a long way off from God today, go back to him and ask him to forgive you for Jesus' sake. And he'll be waiting for you. And he will accept you. And he'll say, put a ring on his or her finger and sandals on his or her foot. And you'll be in the family forever. Let's pray. Lord God Almighty, all glory to you. Thank you for your grace and your mercy to us. Thank you for accepting us in the Lord Jesus. Thank you for your forgiveness of sin. Thank you for your love every day. Lord God, may your name be glorified. May the Lord Jesus be glorified. So we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.